This is The Takeaway, and I'm Duarte Geraldino, filling in for Todd Zwillick while he's on vacation. I'm glad you're here with me.
I was shot twice. I was grazed on my back and ricocheted on my chest. My best friend was killed right in front of me.
It doesn't make sense. Fix it. Should have been one school shooting, and we should have fixed it.
I thought I was going to die.
I'm still just shaking a bit because, that's my baby sister, you know?
We located numerous firearms within the room that he occupied.
I think the most realistic hope is that we cannot continue to do the same things and expect different outcomes.
We're going to walk out of school. We're going to register people to vote. We're going to add people to an email list, and we're going to get people involved in this issue.
As we cover gun violence in the news, the people on the front lines can slip into the background. Trauma surgeons and nurses are the ones who see the victims come in, bleeding and torn and full of holes. These doctors try to save them. Now, gun violence is expensive. Hospitals and emergency rooms rack up nearly $3 billion a year in financial costs related to gunshot wounds. But there are also other costs that are much more difficult to quantify, like the mental and emotional toll on victims, families, and the medical professionals who treat gunshot victims. Because there have been no major changes in legislation or policies, frustration among doctors is growing almost as fast as the number of victims. That's why some physicians are turning to advocacy when they're not in the ER. They say there's no time left to waste. Dr. Rob Gore is an attending physician and clinical assistant professor at Kings County Hospital. He's also the executive director of the Kings Against Violence Initiative. And Dr. Amy Goldberg is surgeon-in-chief at Temple University's health system in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Welcome, doctors.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you.
So, Dr. Goldberg, first, take us through the experience of working with your patients when you see them with gunshot wounds.
Well, we've all had a lot of training, so even though when we see these patients, we could be very distracted by the types of wounds or the number of wounds, we're very focused on what we need to do at that moment to save that patient's life.
And Dr. Gore, how many gunshot victims do you treat every year?
At our hospital alone, we might have close to 200, and some years maybe a little bit more, some a little bit less. That's just gunshot wounds. That's not including stab wounds or blunt trauma that's of a violent nature.
Now, on an emotional level, how has treating these injuries changed you?
I grew up in Brooklyn, in pre-gentrified Brooklyn, and, we were around during the crack cocaine era, so I used to see a lot of violence taking place back then, and even just getting to and from school. So it's not something that you're foreign to, but when you are the physician in charge and it's your role to not just take care of the physical needs, but also address some of the mental health needs, and then when it comes from your neighborhood and these may be individuals that you have a personal connection to, not just like, just as a black physician, living in a black neighborhood and working in a black neighborhood, but actually treating people that you know, it takes on a completely different context. It becomes completely personalized.
Dr. Goldberg, I want to turn to you. You have said that Sandy Hook could have been a teachable moment. What did you mean by that?
I think, really what we need to do as trauma surgeons, emergency medicine physicians, is really to educate our citizens and our politicians on what bullets can do to bodies. And after these mass shootings occur, we always see the pictures of the victims, and we don't see the pictures of what the patients looked like injured. By no means would I ever want to be disrespectful to anybody, not the patients or their families. But, after 25 years as a trauma surgeon in North Philadelphia, I'm desperate. I'm desperate to think of the teachable moment that, as a country, might change some of our gun laws. And I really felt that if in that moment when, young kids were shot in Sandy Hook, if that really couldn't change how we addressed gun violence, then I really didn't know what would. And I had really thought about, suggesting that even autopsy pictures be shown.
That's again,
not
gruesome.
In any... Yeah, not in any disrespectful way, and I'm sure Dr. Gore can attest to how gruesome it really is and that stark contrast to what we may see in the trauma bays and then what gets covered on our TVs and in our newspapers.
The both of you have chosen to do more than just treat your patients in the hospital. You're taking that next step. You both have organizations that help, in theory, to reduce the number of patients you see. Can you talk to me about your organization?
Yeah, we have two programs at Temple University Hospital. We have a Cradle to Grave program, which is really a prevention program where we educate students in middle school and high school as to the realities of gun violence. We'd like to see ourselves as, you know, the professors of gun violence. So we bring these kids in and we take them through the path of a very unfortunate 16-year-old boy who was shot multiple times and died in our trauma bay. And that's our Cradle to Grave, our prevention program. The other program that we have is called Turning Point. That's a intervention program where after the patients have recovered from their injuries but are still hospitalized, we like to, again, continue the education of, you know, what went on to help save their lives. So if patients elect, we allow them to see the trauma bay video of all the people that worked on them after they were injured and all of the energy and commitment that went into save their lives. And then we work very hard with a multitude of different organizations within the city to, when they leave the hospital, to help them get to their doctor's appointments, help them to get a high school diploma, or help them get a job, or more importantly, deal with the emotional stresses of having been shot, where we can hook them up with psychiatrists and group therapy so that they can, you know, try to repair the emotional wounds that they suffered after they were shot.
And in that way, you are really sort of affecting the community as well. Dr. Gore, you heard Dr. Goldberg and her program. Now, you also have a program, Kings Against Violence Initiative. Talk to us about that.
Right. So Kings Against Violence Initiative, also known as CAVI, is a multi-tiered violence intervention and prevention program. First, we view that everyone is entitled to be safe and have a safe space. And when violence and conflict affect different aspects of your life, you feel very vulnerable. And so that's the complete opposite of feeling having a safe space. And so for our hospital-based intervention, we work with young people who've been shot and stabbed and beat or attacked with blunt objects to help provide resources and become advocates for those individuals. When you've been injured, you're terrified. This is a completely traumatic experience, and we want to make sure that we have people who can spend time with those individuals, but also help provide resources and wraparound services, case management, really to make sure that those victims and survivors don't come back. As there's a rate of recurrence about 40 to 45% after somebody's been injured initially.
So say that again.
If somebody's been shot, their rate of re-injury is as high as 40-44% within 5 years after that initial injury.
That they're going to be shot again.
Yes. And the rate of the homicide rate is as high as 20% within that initial 5 years after that first injury.
I'm sort of left speechless for a moment of thinking about this. So you see a patient and you are trying to save his or her life knowing that
they may come back.
The both of you are doing so much outside of hospitals. Right now, our entire country, we're focused on these protests for gun control. No matter what side of the aisle you're on, what lessons can we learn? What should we be focusing on, given your unique experiences? Dr. Goldberg, why don't you go first?
I think number one is it certainly is a public health crisis, and it needs to be seen that way and needs to be attacked that way. Number two, we mustn't lose the sense of urgency that people are feeling right now. And whether that's getting folks to go out and vote so that we can change the politicians who will be voting on these gun laws, then we need to do that. And then three, you know, the education piece of it. Again, I am convinced that, you know, America doesn't really know what really occurs to our patients, whether it's the physical wounds or the emotional wounds. I don't really think that they understand it.
You don't think they understand it? What about you, Dr. Gore?
In addition to some stuff that Dr. Goldberg mentioned, One, we have to pay attention to mental health needs of patients and families who are affected by violence and trauma. You've got more than 20% of people who've been injured violently who will still suffer from symptoms consistent with post-traumatic stress even a year after that initial incident. And you think about what happens when somebody experiences PTSD, anxiety, depression, and if there's pre-existing mental illness already, it just exacerbates it because you've just lowered the threshold for when somebody's going to have a crisis related to that mental health problem. So understanding the need for PTSD screening is important. Then number two is making sure that those individuals who've been identified will have also have access to treatment, care, and therapy, which is going to be important and essential for long-term survivability. The other thing is, you know, there's the family dynamic, which is exceptionally important that we have to pay attention to. And if not just treating the patients, but treating those individuals and addressing the individuals who are going to be in close proximity to that patient. Which violence is definitely a public health issue, but we also have to look at it in some spaces as, you know, how people adapt to trauma is it's a lifestyle in some respects. And so lifestyle adjustments, as we've seen in every other health issue, whether it's diabetes, hypertension, smoking, it's very difficult to change because there's so many different elements that contribute to that problem.
Thank you so much, doctors. Dr. Rob Gore, attending physician and clinical assistant professor at Kings County Hospital and SUNY Downstate Medical Center. He's also the executive director of the Kings Against Violence Initiative. And Dr. Amy Goldberg, surgeon-in-chief, Temple University Health System in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you, doctors.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.